foreign land, if you know what I mean.
Hey, you guys, my name is Sheridan Placencia. I am Nelson and Crystal's oldest daughter, and this is really weird for me right now because I'm used to having a translator, so I have time to catch my breath between sentences. I want to talk to you guys about something that's affected me after going on this trip. I want to talk to you guys about being grateful for what we have, being thankful for what we have. You guys hear this a lot. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for what you have. Pray to God and thank Him for everything that you have. But you don't really get the concept until you see what other people have. This is my fifth mission trip abroad. I've been to Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Haiti, and this is my second time going to Nicaragua. And I must say that this is the first time that I'm not only feeling grateful, but I'm also feeling a longing for what they have. Every time I come back home from mission trip, I'm always like, wow, I'm so glad to be home with good food, with AC, with my bed and TV. I list out all these things I'm grateful for. But after coming back from Nicaragua this week, I'm also feeling kind of a longing for living simply. Before this trip, I prepared my heart to go there and not have anything that I have at home, the TV especially, my phone. I was completely prepared to just leave it behind. And when we got there, we actually had the opportunity to have Wi-Fi and stay in touch with our friends back home, but I didn't turn the Wi-Fi on. I was ready to leave that sucker behind. I said, no ma'am. This trip has given me an opportunity to get away from focusing on my wants and my needs, but instead of doing that, instead of focusing on my wants, instead of focusing on how much I miss my Netflix or how much I miss my bed, how much I miss my carpet, how much I miss my door with a doorknob, I got to focus on what my needs were. What, 3 meals a day, a shower. It's not hot shower, it was cold shower. I got 3 meals a day, hot or cold shower, and I just got the opportunity to just focus on my needs and the needs of other people, the people there in Nicaragua. I got to help feed children out in the communities and just seeing their faces light up as they got their little plastic bowl and they're waiting for us to come fill it up with food. It was just an amazing experience. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jada. I'm Nelson and Crystal's youngest daughter, and whenever we went to Nicaragua, we got to go to a bunch of food ministries. And Wednesday, I believe it was, we went to a dump and we got to hand out bread and drinks. There was all this trash and the people live there and they get their food, they get their clothes. And many years ago, there was a hurricane in Nicaragua. So everything ended up, like all the homes were destroyed, and the government said that they would rebuild their homes, but they never did. So the people go to the dump, they get their dishes, they get their clothes, and they get their food. And so I learned that we do waste a lot, and if the Nicaraguan people were to come here to our dump, they would find a lot of good food, clothes, dishes, because we waste a lot. And so some verses that remind me of that are Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. It says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Thank you.
My name's Dale, and that's my dad right there. And I went with my friends and my two brothers. And one thing that really spoke, like, when we kind of got there, I was kind of like, this is going to be a little weird because I don't speak Spanish. I failed Spanish class in high school, so it's it was pretty hard. But as like the first day went on, and it was just weird, like, because we're just sitting there and I don't understand what anyone's saying, and I'm just kind of along for the ride. And I was like, well, if this is how the week's gonna go on, then this is how the week's gonna go on. I'm here, I can't go home. And so I just kind of waited for God to just show Himself. And I believe it was Sunday. We got there Friday or Saturday, something like that. I think it was Sunday. And Sunday morning, we there were some pictures up there. But Sunday morning, we get to the church, and we didn't really go that far. And we got to church, and I'm sitting up there, and I'm just playing the guitar. That these songs that I know, that we learned here at least, and I've just memorized them. And I was just playing the songs, and I kind of wasn't really getting anything out of it. I was just using myself. I was allowing God to use me. And then it all kind of hit me. I was just kind of thinking. I was like, wow. This, like, all these people, like, who are they singing to? I can't even understand what they're saying. And I'm thinking, I'm like, these people are worshiping God, the same God that I worship back at home, however many miles away. And it just kind of spoke to me, because you always hear the people that are like, if you ever think God's so small, just remember that it says in the Bible that he breathed the suns into existence. And just to imagine that he's so big and he can reach, you don't only think of just the people that he reaches in here. And just, oh, he's the God of Gainesville, or he's the God of Fellowship Church. You think about it, and it's like, wow, God's a lot bigger than you really think he is, because he's the God of everyone. And although we're however many miles away and in some random church that doesn't even speak English, he still loves those people, and those people still worship him on a weekly basis. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Adrielle. One thing that I learned while I was there was to never, ever go down a volcano. It was bad. Some of y'all saw my video, and it was not as fun as I thought it would be. But me and Rachel were the main ones. Let's go down the volcano. Let's do it. We got this. It's going to be fun. Once-in-a-lifetime experience. It was once-in-a-lifetime. I'll never do it again. Okay, but some other things. There's a couple other things. We went to visit a hospital while we were there, and I want to be a pediatrician when I grow up because I love kids, and I want to be in the medical field. But the hospital really stood out to me because they don't have anything there. They're so cramped in the rooms, and they don't have any medicine. They don't have the resources that we have, and it's hard to see that. And the doctors, they learn from nothing. They don't have anything to treat the medicine. And the kids there that are in, that have surgeries, they don't have the money to pay for that. And they don't have the good medicine to help with that. So that really stood out to me. Another thing was the music. The music is so different. It was just me and Dale there whenever we were playing, but it was alive. Like, you could see it in their faces, and they loved it, and you could tell God was there, and that really stood out to me. And we did a few, we were told not to call them tricks, but they're magic tricks. We were told to call them spiritual representations of physical. Wait, I said it like 10 plus times over there. Physical representations of spiritual realities. And we each had our little tricks, and Sheridan did a trick, and it was with ropes. She had a short one and a middle one and a long one. And she said, I don't know how she did it, I couldn't do it, but somehow she made them all the same length in the end, and that was her trick. But what she went along with it to say was that God, no matter if we're, she said, short, average, or tall, or poor, like medium income, or wealthy, that God loves us all. And to know that, and when we went to the hospital, they're poor, but God still loves them, and he's still watching out for them. That's it.
Hey, my name is Kyle Greenwald. I'm Eric's youngest son. Well, Shelly and Eric's youngest son. Going on this mission trip, I didn't really know what to expect because it was my first mission trip. So, other than the plane ride, they're like really scary. But like other than that, we get there and like I wasn't expecting everybody to be so dark. Like they were like really, really dark. And I was like, this isn't Nicaragua, dude, this is like Mexico. And but like I got there and I was like, stinks, like, bad, really, really bad, like, yikes. But then, like, when we got settled into the Dream Center, I really wasn't excited about that either. I was like, this place is really ghetto, and, like, I, like, at first I was like, who signed me up for this? But, like, as the days went on, like, I was, like, meeting these kids, and the little Spanish I know, like, I would apply that, and like I would meet these kids, and they were like, my name's Javier. I would forget that in like 3 seconds. But then I would like hug on these kids, like I don't even know, and like not even ministering to them because they speak no English, and I would have to have an interpreter. But like just being a friend to them, like, and showing them what real love meant is just like so impactful. That's about it. Thank you, guys.
One more. Come on, Big Dad. Oh, okay. That's even better. Even better.
My name is Logan. This trip was pretty amazing. When we first got there, these guys were wearing these shirts, and it said servant, and it was like a pinkish color. And I really liked it. I was like, hey, where can I get one of those shirts from? Because I was going to buy one. And they're like, well, we don't have any more. I was like, well, can you guys like find some? And they're like, no, not really. And they're like, but we'll give you yours or ours. I was like, no, I don't want your shirt. Like, you guys earned that shirt. And so throughout the week, I just was like, hey, can you guys really look for that shirt? And they're like, well, we'll ask Oscar, and which was our leader. And at the end of the week, they're like, here's our shirt. I was like, I don't want your shirt. It's the only thing that they had. They really had no anything. They lived off $150 a month that they got through the ministry. So the shirt was like the only thing that they had. So to be given something that's all they had was a blessing to me, because they're giving me the only thing that they have. So.
Hi, my name is DeAndre. This is my first time here. I just went on the trip with everyone. But what really stuck out to me was what Adriel just said. I was completely on a different path until she spoke. But at the hospital, I also want to be a pediatrician, and those kids really touched me. Like, I had the privilege to go in the ICU and to pray for one little boy. And that whole day, all I could think about was him crying. While we were praying for him, he had a respiratory problem, and he had nonstop diarrhea, and he was in there for a while, and he was about 6 years old, and his mother said that he just cries all the time. So we went in there, and as we were praying for him, I couldn't keep my tears back like I'm trying to do now. And I usually don't cry about anything, like at all, but seeing that little boy in the hospital really spoke to me. And like Adriel said, they don't have anything. I talked to Oscar, which is the leader of the group, and he said that after women have their children, they actually get put in the same bed if the hospital is overcrowded. So it's like two ladies who just had children put in the same bed, sharing a room, not even a room, they're sharing a bed. And that really like touched my heart. And I know that once I come back, I'm going to go back once I finish medical school and try to help as much as possible with the hospital or with the children. And also what Kyle said, I couldn't really minister them. I speak a little Spanish, but not enough to, like, communicate completely. But we didn't even have to give the kids anything. Just spending time showing God's love and just playing with them, whatever they wanted to do, whether it was paint their face, play soccer, make a balloon animal, just showing the kids that someone out there actually cares about them, it just really meant a lot to me. And there was one little boy, I don't know if you saw a picture, actually him right there with Kyle, he spoke to me the most. Like, out of all the children, I don't know why, just seeing him, he was the only child I can remember that did not have a pair of shoes. And as we were walking around his neighborhood, he showed me where he lived, and he just kept telling me he really wants a pair of shoes because all when he walks around, his feet gets burned on the asphalt. And that really brought me to tears. The last night we were there, we were just talking about what spoke to us the most, and just seeing that little kid right there just crying because he has no shoes and his feet are burning on the asphalt really touched me. So that's all I got to say.
Hello, I am Nelson and Crystal's niece. I don't go here, I go to a church. I live in Lake City now, so I go to a church closer there, but I am very blessed to be here. What stood out to me the most is that we were a group of people who are extremely blessed, and we're going and we're trying to minister to these people who have absolutely nothing. I'm trying not to cry too, but they have absolutely nothing, and I'm just wondering if the place were turned or the table was turned, if we were on their side, would we even want to hear about God? Would we want to be ministered to if we had nothing? You know, they're trying to survive, and we're here, and we have showers, we have air conditioning, we have toothpaste, we have something as little as a snack in our fridge, and as soon as somebody treats us wrong, we turn our focus off God, and I feel like we're blessed to live here. We are ridiculously blessed to be here, and I feel like we need to be just as desperate as they are for survival. We need to be just as desperate as they are for God. You know, we just need to be thankful, and we need to be grateful for absolutely everything. Because if the tables were turned, who knows what we would do? And that's all I have to say.
Hey guys, my name is Eli. I'm Nelson and Crystal's nephew, and I'm Rachel's little brother. And this is honestly my first mission trip, and it's just crazy. Like, over here, I've been playing soccer since I was really little, so I love soccer, and we played soccer every time we went to these feeding ministries. And what really hit me is these kids probably may only have one pair of shoes that are nice. So they would take off their shoes and they put them on their hands and ran around barefoot, and they would, like, even if it was just like a pair of flip-flops, they didn't even, to us, if we saw someone wearing them, we wouldn't think they were that nice, but to them, they were probably the nicest pair of shoes they own. And they would literally run around on dirt, grass, rocks, everything barefoot, so they didn't mess up their shoes. And honestly, to me, I honestly think we should be very grateful we're able to get all this stuff, and they have so much stuff that they don't have a lot of the stuff that we're able to get. Like, there was a part of me that, I was kind of, oh, okay, yeah, I miss my burgers and my bed and stuff. But then there's a side of me that wanted to stay forever and just be with those kids. And, just really going there really changes your outlook on life. And, like that child that DeAndre was talking about, everyone calls him Gato. And, I'm pretty sure he probably spoke to all of us. Because he was just there, and he was playing with us. And just being able to play with those little kids and bring them joy, not even being able to speak to them, because I don't speak as much Spanish as I probably should since I'm fully Hispanic, which is kind of sad. But so just playing with them and bringing them joy really just made me so happy. And being able to give them stuff, so that's it. Thank you.
Okay, last call for Nicaraguan mission trip travelers, goers, last call. All right, good. Let's just pray for everyone who went on that trip. God, we come to you thanking you, Lord, just to be a church that not only has connections in the foreign fields, but, Lord, we're able to send finances and resources, Lord, all over this planet because you have been so good to Fellowship Church. God, we thank you for the willing hearts of these people who have traveled to Nicaragua. Lord, I pray that it would not just be a week-long experience and great memories and also a revelation of how blessed we are here. But God, I pray, Lord, that the words they speak when they say, I want to do something for these children and this country and my future days, Lord, I pray that that would be a burden that has been placed upon them by you, God, that you are unfolding, you are unveiling, God, your destiny, your plan, your purpose for their lives, God. May good-looking girls and good-looking boys not be a distraction to their passion to continue to serve you. God, I pray that money would not be a distraction, Lord. I pray, God, that they would be able to heed the call and they would do whatever it is necessary in the upcoming days so that they can fulfill the purpose that you have planned for these young people, Lord, to change the world one life at a time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what I'd like to do right now is transition over to another part of the near the hemisphere area. We're going to go to Haiti, which is going to be far, far east of Nicaragua. And we're not a stranger to Haiti. We've been going there since November of 2011. I'm speaking with two microphones. That feels very awkward. Okay. So, yeah, it's like, wow, this is like, I'm not going to say the word. But anyway, so we've been going there since 2011. We had an exploratory trip where we went to evaluate the needs there and what could Fellowship do potentially, because it is quite close to Florida. It's only a 2 hour and 45 minute flight from Miami to Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I think it's like 500 miles. Just to see what kind of impact we can have as, you know, a church our size. And we've been able to see some phenomenal things happen since 2011. So I'd like to introduce to you Jamie Crames, who has partnered with us. She has been, I think this is her fifth trip to Haiti. It's been a couple years since she's been there. She may even share with you why it's been a couple years, maybe not. But she has been a breath of fresh air. She's been an encourager. She's been someone who has grabbed the hold of the plow, so to speak. Her and her husband, Wesley, who is not here today, they've just been a phenomenal assistants and team members in Haiti. So, Jamie, if you'd come up, I'd like for you to share just a bit about what you've seen last week and what you've experienced, maybe even over the last couple of years, some of the changes. And you can feel welcome to come up. It's up to you.
No, I'm straight. I like being down here. Hi, everyone. I'm Jamie Crams. I'm a middle school teacher at Mabane for, like, this is my ninth year going on. So this was my fourth trip, and I wasn't going to bring up the two-year thing, but I will. I got really sick on the last trip. For about 4 months, I was sick. There was a parasite, and American doctors are not, well, they're smart. I was going to say they didn't know what to do about it because parasites are, like, foreign to them, so they were just gave me Pepto-Bismol and said good luck. So anyway, I was able to overcome that, but it put a lot of fear in my heart, honestly, to go back. So it took me a couple years to go back. And then the young man who talked about the plane, I'm like the 32-year-old woman who just straight up cries the entire trip. And, like, people watch me like I'm a freak. So being in an airplane is really scary for me. But I guess the biggest thing I got from this trip is that, you know, God is definitely faithful and he knows the plans that he has for us, because the last three trips I had been on, I feel like we did these big things for God. Like, we had conferences, we did, like, a vacation Bible school where over 100 kids came to the orphanage. And then for this trip, I was like, God, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? And all I really got was just, you need to love on the kids. Just love on the kids. And I was like, yeah, of course I'm going to love on the kids, but what big thing do you want us to do? Or, like, your Holy Spirit rains down, and it's like this miracle. And he just kept saying, love on the kids. So we get there, and when we get there, there's 9 new little boys who came to the orphanage the day before we got there. And these kids came from, I mean, where we are is obviously really, really poor. But where they came from, You know, they look like those little boys in those like Africa commercials, you know, that they try to get you to give them all their money, and they're just really thin, and they have the distended bellies. They were very malnourished, and they were just like in shock. You know, like they didn't talk. They, even to our Haitian friends, they didn't talk or anything like that. They didn't want to get close to you or anything like that, except for a couple of them. They were already like really wanting love. So then the whole like love on the children thing just really became obvious. Like, we're supposed to love on these 9 boys and make them feel God's love. And anyway, just by the end of the trip, we took them to the beach a couple times. They had never been to the ocean, even though they're Haitian and they live right on the ocean. Just seeing them change from just being like terrified to like smiling and taking pictures and jumping in your arms, you know, it was such a huge change in just 7 days. And so when the young men, there was a couple of you who said, I couldn't minister, all I could do was love on the kids. That's ministry. Like, God is love, and you don't have to use words. And just loving on these kids and making, you know, letting them experience God's love is just like a huge thing. So, yeah.
Thank you so much.
So, Jamie has, she's been on some of the trips where we've slept with no electricity, and like 9 or 10 of us in 2 bedrooms, and it is hot as Haiti. I mean, it's just hot. And it gets, you can push each other's buttons, or other things can push your buttons, but I tell you what, there's one thing you have to do is when you're serving God on the mission field, you gotta be flexible. And that doesn't mean just physically. That means emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. You need to be flexible because you encounter some very trying moments. Amen? I want to give you guys, she has some slideshow passing through here. So this is whenever we leave Port-au-Prince. This is our mode of transportation. For those of you who never got a chance to travel abroad, this is like a limousine almost. You have air condition. Sometimes it's 30 miles an hour air condition. Sometimes it's 70. We're just going to breeze through this real quick. I got some things I want you to see. This is literally, as soon as we get there, Aiden gets right back down into his groove. Aiden is my son. He's 9 years old. He's been to Haiti, I want to say about 4 or 5 times maybe. And it's been a couple of years since his last visit there. So here we're playing games. And you can see the little boy has his arm around Aiden's neck. This is Woodmael, okay? Now, this is a couple of days after us being there. These kids have never, ever worked with white people. Because after a couple of days, I got a translator. I was like, we need to find out how much involvement they've had. And they looked like this, and we said, have you ever worked with white people? They're like, and I'm like, well, God, this is a miracle, because these kids are starting to bond with us. I mean, just incredible. Now, this is a girl. Her name is Bejnessa. She has also a sponsor in Brobridge, Louisiana. And the good thing about being a partner or a sponsor with some of these kids is not only can you send money to take care of them, feed them, clothe them, send them to school, but you can send items that can personally be delivered and given to them. So this is for Bejnessa and her birthday. The last picture, these are 2 other sponsors. Our children who are sponsored from Louisiana, and they dropped over 2 backpacks full of goods, and we brought them or shipped them over there. So this is Bejnessa. Again, she got a bracelet, and she was able to read some of the English in her card that her sponsor wrote. So it really, really means a lot when these kids know that they are loved. We went there one specific main purpose. Jamie's like, we didn't have a whole lot planned, and we didn't. And we just said, God, we've done it all. Like you said, we're just going to go back to the garden, and we did. So we started planting and tilling up, and these children, I'm telling you, the new boys, like 4 of them, immediately started getting involved. Couldn't say one word with us, and they started working. These are most of the orphans. We're planting a variety of vegetables. I asked you guys to donate seeds. We probably had $300 worth of seeds that we brought there, and we planted maybe 2 Ziploc bags. So we have probably another year left of seeds still left to be planted. So we taught them everything from planting little seedlings in small cups and how that operates, and then also how to till the ground, how to pull the rocks out. We just want to not just take care of their needs, but we want to empower them and teach them how to be self-sustained. The orphanage before last week was currently all girls, 1 boy. And the girls definitely pull their weight in cleaning clothes, cooking food, preparing, but there's not a lot of boys and male influence. So to see these new boys come in, we call them bush boys, and I'll explain that in a second, to see them come in and begin to put their hands on things and eager to learn, it brought me a lot of confidence that there'll be a good balance. I took this picture, I said, I'm gonna take a picture of all the lazy workers today, and they all got excited. So Bersnessa's sticking her tongue out, and Jamie's like, deuces. So we needed a break. It was hot, sweaty. Let's go on. This is one of the new boys. His name is Christopher. This boy, I've never heard one word come out of his mouth. Not one word. He did cry a little bit, but just looking at the new kids, you can tell that they're ill, that they're sick. There's underlying reasons why their face looks the way they're just covered and what appears to be some sort of acne, but it's a result of having a specific worm. So these are new boys that need sponsors. John Peter, oh my goodness, Jean-Peter. I said when I first met him, he's like a grown man trapped in a four-year-old body. Because when he talks, it's like a grown man, not like the depth of it, but the consistency, the amount of words. Besides that, you'll never hear a word out of him. Well, this kid has some serious, like, anger issues. You come across him, he will come unglued, not on me, but on any of the other boys. And I'm telling you, he gets fixated on him really bringing the heat on someone. And Jamie's husband, Wesley, we're waiting in the doctor's office. We took all nine boys to a local clinic to get them all seen about blood tests and urine tests and a whole lot of other exams. So her husband had to put this little four-year-old boy, I'm talking about, in a grown man hold. And he bit Wesley three or four times. He just scratched. This is like a little demon manifesting, seriously. And, you know, Wesley's not used to that. And he's like, oh, my goodness. But he kept it up. And he finally broke. This boy was screaming, crying. He calmed down a little while. And then he started hustling, getting Smarties from the kids who had already gotten their shots. I'm like, this dude's getting the Smartie candies, and he hadn't even gone and got his shot yet, you know? So anyway, he's pretty unique. Jean-Peter. Move on. And this is us. We went up to see the mountains. And Mount Piat, there's a pastor right here, Pastor Charisme. We have helped him a lot. He's been up there for 16 or 17 years. He's never had running water. They had some piping that went through that area. We were able to help him tap into the reservoir so he can get running water on his property. He pastors a church there. He runs a school nearly year-round. He and his children teach there. Phenomenal, phenomenal man in the community. And we brought him some seeds, and I was expecting him to be excited because every time I'm there, he always gives me a mango, bananas, or snot balls, we call them. It's some little berries with a nut inside, and you chew it, and it's just slimy, and it's, yeah, Jamie calls them snot balls. That's my best description. It's called pecas or something. So anyway, I felt excited to bring him seeds, and he wasn't excited to receive them, and I'm like, this is awkward. This is not Pastor Charisme. And then he began to tell us that they haven't had water for a while because some knuckleheads way up the mountain are breaking the main line going to this little village. It's all fed from an artesian well up in the mountains. And, you know, everywhere we live, we have evil. Everywhere we live, we have people who want to see other people suffer. So they have no water. And so we're trying to figure out how to get them water. And one way is possibly putting a new pipeline somewhere else that can be camouflaged from a spring that only runs every couple of days. So we'll be talking about that more. So here he is. We took the boys, nine boys, to the doctor. It was roughly $25 each child. This was an unexpected expense that we had, and thankfully everyone brought some extra cash so we can make this happen. Because you're bringing in nine new kids. These kids, some of them have lived in a hut where they had a dirt floor. Others, they lived underneath like whatever could cover them. A number of these boys have never seen a toilet. Ever seen a toilet. They have problems with kids just using the restroom both ways, anywhere, at any given moment, inside the house. Jean-Peter, my friend, decided he wanted to practice his artistic abilities with his stool. Yes, and he's not well. He is kind of ill. So that was not fun for the people to clean up. But this poor, these kids have never seen a toilet. They don't know what it is. He's having to teach four- and five-year-olds what it is to have a toilet. Let's go on. So we drew blood. We're going to test them for STDs, AIDS. We're going to also find out, you know, what struggles they're having internally. So by next week, I should have all the results from them. One thing we typically do every single time we're there, we take the kids to the beach, all the orphans. Like Jamie said, some of the kids had never been to the ocean. They come from a very, it's kind of by the beach, but maybe like a couple hours away. Very, very dire situation. So it took a little while for them to warm up to us, as you can tell. This is Son Son. He's one of the new boys. He's been there for 2 weeks. I'm telling you, if a kid's going to melt your heart, it's this boy. I'm like, how? Some of these orphan kids, I'm going to be honest, I could understand why a parent just kind of lets them go. They're like difficult, right? This boy has a personality that melts your heart. And I told him that every day. I was like, you know, I told him in prayer, I said, son, you have a beautiful heart. And he just smiles. He just smiles. But he really began to bond with us. And he's learning English already, being a dwarf. This is Nerichi. Nerichi is also very, very ill. His skin color is very low. He's not as dark as he should be. His eyes are covered in this glaze, this haze, and it's yellow. But he never really smiled. And at this one moment, he had this little bottle, and he had been sitting there for like 2 hours. And I started hearing this little weird yeep, yeep, yeep noise. And I kind of looked up because I wasn't going in the water because I had so many kids to watch. And he starts making this noise, and I look at him. He's just smiling. I'm talking like the huge grin. And I'm like, wow, what an experience. These guys are scratching trash, and it's bringing him excitement. So Nerichi is there. This is Kerson. You can't really see a lot of details, but this one here always sat alone, always sat by himself. He never really wanted to connect with the Haitians. He never wanted to connect with the orphans. He never wanted to connect with us. I'd ask him his name. He wouldn't answer me two or three times, and he finally would, Kerson. So we noticed by the end of the week, was it he who went and grabbed your hand? Yes. So Jamie's like, damn it, look. Kerson, who had never been around white people, who had been displaced, he's in this whole new world right here. By the last day, he's sitting, and he sits next to Jamie, and he just sits there for a while, and then you notice his hand kind of just sit there. Then he put his hand on her leg, and then a little bit later, you've seen this with his hand. And he held her hand. That's breakthrough. That's breakthrough. This kid felt love for the first time. Let's go on. And this is Woodmael. Woodmael is my garden man. He cannot count. I would tell him 2 or 3 seeds per pot, and he would just like, un, deux, quatre, six. I'm like, no, we're not skipping, you know. So anyway, but he knew his vegetables. Every single one I'd show him, he'd call him out, come on. So he's going to be a good hand. And this is my friend, Jean-Peter. I said, ou grand goût? And it's like, yeah. Is he hungry? So I fed him chocolate Oreo Pop-Tarts. These kids have never tasted this stuff. So they enjoyed it. So there's Woodmael to the left. All these little boys, they need sponsors. There's Jason, my friend from Louisiana. He and his 12-year-old daughter came. And you can see, he cannot speak any Creole to save his life. He gets stranded in Haiti. He'll find his way out because he's that kind of guy. But just bonding with the boys. Had a great time there. Here's Prosper Lynn to the left. She's been at the orphanage since around 2013, 2012. And then there is Son Son to the right. This is one little boy trying to make his own little lounging chair out of a leaf. It's a shame to see the garbage there, but we can't change the culture. We can change the children's lives, which changes the culture, and they begin to do new things there at the orphanage there. There's Woodmael again. We didn't have an air pump, so he decided, hey, I can't kick a ball. Let me wear a ball, you know? So I had to get a picture of him. He's just precious. This is a truck that was donated from a fellowship church member probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago. We went to deliver some crates to ship to Haiti, and we got to talking, and they said, you know what, I got a truck that's been sitting up for a little bit. I'd like to ship it. I'm like, seriously? We really need one. So this is so divine. We shipped them a van last year. It broke down a couple of months ago, and I brought the parts with me in my luggage, and we shipped this truck a couple of months ago, and they got it literally a week before we get there. This is our only mode of transportation.
for us to get anywhere from the airport. So it was a godsend that he got there at the exact same time a week before us and had this little cage built around the outside so we can keep us in and keep other things out. But this truck is also going to serve as a form of income for the orphanage. Already, he was already hauling mission teams from their residence or their hotel or their compound to the projects already every morning, every evening, and he's making $50 a day. He did that 5 days, $250 a week. Let me tell you, that is wealth right there. Wealth. So God is already answering, and he's already had to buy a fuel pump for the truck, so which means it's his now. I said, I'm not paying for anything anymore. Now you got a job doing it. So it worked out really well. Perfect timing. These are new sheets that we shipped with the truck. Isn't it incredible how God, a lady in Louisiana, shipped 12, 15 sheets, sets, and it got there the week before the new 9 kids got there. God is awesome. God is awesome. So I just wanted to show you some pictures of those things. This is the electrical system that I put up. I built. We have two solar panels and 4 batteries. And this is, I have everything running on 12 volts. In other words, they get a little bit of light at night and they get a TV with an inverter so the kids can watch different things in French and Creole. And we also have these little small 6-inch fans that are on 12 volts. That's the only ventilation we have. I'd love to get that spruced up. We always take opportunity to teach the kids. So washing machine was donated a couple years ago. It was very, very plastic cheap type thing. Well, the belt went bad, so we took it apart. We told the boys what went wrong. We told them how we troubleshoot the motors before we buy the $10 belt. We wanted to make sure that the motors work. We got all, and this is ran only by a generator, $5 a gallon for gas. So when you run a generator, you maximize, like you fill all 3 water tanks so you don't have to use gas for that later. You charge batteries, whatever you need to do, and you also teach kids at the same time. So there's Nelson. He's one of our new boys there. He is a phenomenal little boy. He's eager to help. He's eager to get connected. His little brother is also in the orphanage, and you can watch him take care of his brother. But he has a great, 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 great character. We're looking for some great future for these boys. There's Narici again drinking the vitamin drink that I mixed up for him. Guys, just as simple as little 1,000-milligram vitamin packs mixed in their water, we noticed within hours made a huge difference. Within hours. I know it sounds crazy, but they had one little boy. He was lethargic. He was running fever. I mean, evidently he was sick. And we gave him this. We gave him some food. Within hours, you begin to see his face light up. He was more interactive. So they have really, really been ignored. Now, here are the last set of brothers, Alfredo and Olison. These kids never cracked a smile the first 3 days. Never cracked a smile. Olison has yet to talk to me. He may not know how to talk. I don't know. But he was always standoffish. But Alfredo, let me tell you about Alfredo. Alfredo lit up. When he started being, you know, embraced and hugged and loved and taught and encouraged by our team, you begin to see him really, really change. And I have a picture later on. You'll see something that'll amaze you. We had a big feast the last day that we were there. Since we didn't go last year for Thanksgiving. We had a huge feast where they killed a goat. Notice all these girls, they're all orphans except for the one at the very, very top middle. She's paid to work there. This is one of the orphans cutting plantains, which comes out of our garden there. Everything there is purchased at the market. Everything is made from scratch. They killed a goat. It was fun because Jamie walked back there as soon as he chopped the head off and it rolled away. And Jamie was like, it's going to taste all that much better. Amen. We didn't eat the goat, but we ate everything else. So there's our team. That's our husband, Wesley, just serving drinks and feeding all the kids. And for these 9 boys, this was a lifetime, once in a lifetime experience until now. They've never had this before, ever. Ever. So it's exciting to be able to do this. I think I gave $160. We fed every single one. We bought plates, cups, utensils, you name it. It all got done, and we still have money left over. Phenomenal. Now, this is one of the last pictures here. I was wondering, why are these kids so excited? That's the first time this boy has ever had soap in his hands. the first time this kid has ever had soap in his hands, and he was amazed at the feeling, at the white suds, and they just kept on looking at the suds. And his little brother, Olison, I have one picture where he's just smiling. They're just like, this is water. Just that ability to feel things they've never felt before. Incredible, incredible. And every time our last stay there, if you can see it in the back, that's dorms that we built through Fellowship Church and Alley Powell Missions. The bathrooms to the left were built through Alley Powell Missions and Fellowship Church. The kitchen, the cafeteria, the depot, all this has been through the efforts of people donating to Alley Powell Missions and Fellowship Church. But the last day that we're there, they typically always prepare a dance for us or some sort of singing. And these kids, the older ones, these are all the orphans that we've known for 5 years since they were this big. They're all growing now. And they dance their heart out and they sing. And the very last one, I didn't have a picture of it, but as soon as they started singing, they started crying because it was our last day there. We were leaving in an hour. And if you've ever seen people weep, it's when the only excitement that they have experienced all week, all year, shows up for 1 week and leaves. And for people like us and like Jamie, you know, to leave there, you know, one thing Jamie has said the last couple of times, it's hard to leave when your children live in another country. Jamie and Weston do not have kids here, but their kids are there. And they've been so faithful to love and to invest in these kids. I'm very grateful for what Fellowship Church has done to help us get there. Amen? I know you guys have heard a lot about all that's going on, so I want to share a little bit about not having passion and not having enthusiasm. And that can be applied in a general sense. If you're not enthusiastic about your marriage, what happens? If you're not enthusiastic about your job, your place of employment, what happens? Right? You guys can logically conclude certain things, but in the Bible, there are numerous scriptures that mention that. One is in 19, Luke 19, 32, where Jesus is fixing to come in. It's called the triumphal entry, and he sends his disciples ahead to grab a colt that has not been ridden before. It's just very crazy. And he says, go ahead and find a colt that hasn't been ridden before and bring it to me. So his disciples go ahead and they start looking around for this colt tied. And they said, okay, this must be the one. So they grab it. And you know, the owner's like, hey, what are you doing with my colt? He's like, taking my ride, you know. So they take it and said, the Lord needs it. So they bring it to him and he's bringing, brought it to Jesus. And they put their cloaks over it. If you just read through the scripture, you'll see where they took their cloaks and they set it. And then Jesus got on. And as Jesus is walking on this colt, people are laying their cloaks right before, you know, him as he's walking to cover the ground. Just a sense of honor and just adoration. This is the Messiah. This is the coming of the Lord. And I just thought about, wow, to just be in God's presence and what they did, they're giving something of their own immediately. They didn't plan to do it. They didn't think, hey, let's all bring our cloaks today so we can lay it before the Lord. But it's something I really wanted to point out. So they're doing this, and everyone's just worshiping. If you go to verse 37, it says, when he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples, Luke chapter 19, began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice with all the miracles they've seen. That's the reason why they worship God. They said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Verse 39 says, then some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, some of the Pharisees, some of the religious, some of the people who are well acquainted with Sunday mornings and doing the church service, so to speak, they say, this is what they have to say. They say, teacher, not Messiah, not Jesus, not Yeshua. They say, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus says this. He says, I tell you this. He replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. In other words, if my disciples, if I quiet them, if I shush them, the stones will cry out in worship, because that's what I deserve, is what Jesus is saying. Then he goes on, he says, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. And he wept out for it. He cried over the city. And he said, even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. Then you continue to go on. It says, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, and the children within your walls, they will not leave one stone to another. Here's the thing I want us to hone in on. Because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. He says you didn't recognize the visitation of the Lord. Very, very crucial for us to hear this morning. How well are you preparing for God's visitation? How well are you preparing? How well are you tuning in to hearing God's voice? I'm not talking about when he comes to take away his people and bring us up there. I'm talking about today. Today, how ready are you to listen for God and to obey God? Because it may not come in the form of something big and huge that you just cannot deny that is God. I'm talking about he may give you a whisper. And the reason why he whispers it is because he wants you to listen to it. And it's for you. And it's for you to obey. But he says, right, you know what? There's so much that could have been done good, but know what? Calamity is going to come upon you. He says, because you did not recognize the time of God's visitation to you. So my point I wanted to make today is that there's a high cost for low enthusiasm. You guys hear me? There's a high cost for low enthusiasm. There's another scripture in 2 Kings where there's this prophet in chapter 13, Elijah, and he's speaking to one of the kings, Jehoash, and then Jehoash is concerned about the war that's going to be going down, and the Elijah, the prophet, says, this is in 2 Kings 13, he says, listen, I need you to listen. God's speaking through the prophet. He says, I want you to grab the bow and arrow. So he grabbed the bow and arrow. He says, I want you to shoot one out of the west wing? Let's see, the east wing, the east window. So he shot it out there. And then Elijah said to the king, he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram. Elijah declared, you will completely destroy the Arams, okay? You're going to completely destroy them. But let's follow real quickly. Then in verse 18, it says, then he said, take the arrows, the second command from God to the prophet, from the prophet to King Jehoash, take the arrows, and the king took them. Elisha took them. He told him, he said, strike the ground. So the king struck it three times, and then he stopped. The man of God, the prophet, became angry with Jehoash and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it, which is what God had promised at the very beginning of this conversation. But now you will defeat it only three times. Are you guys hearing where I'm going? Many times we will assume that if we give just a little, if we do just a little, we're going to accomplish all that God has for us. God didn't tell the prophet to tell Jehoash how many times to hit the ground. He says, strike the ground and you will totally annihilate your enemy. But what I see here is that King Jehoash, he did not strike the ground with the arrows with enthusiasm. The Bible says that he just hit it on the ground three times and then he stopped. And immediately the prophet gets upset. He gets upset. I could see he just gets up and goes back to bed and lays down. I said, you're one foolish person. You guys get me? He said, you struck the ground, but you only struck it three times. If you would have stricken it five or six times, then you could have completely annihilated them, but you didn't. And what I hear is you didn't do it with enthusiasm. You didn't do it with passion. And many times we may be like King Jehoash, where Pastor Damon will share something, Mike will share something, Nelson will share something. And we just take it as hot air. We just take it as a word. You hear me? That's what Jehoash took it as. He took it as, this is a hot air. This is the prophet saying for me to hit the ground. So King Jehoash could have left with a lot, but instead he only left with a portion. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? We need to be prepared. We need to be ready to recognize a visitation of the Lord. And when God tells us to do something, no matter how insignificant it may be, like striking arrows on the ground, do it with everything inside of you. Amen? Amen. Give it your all. There's high cost for low enthusiasm. You guys know that not every opportunity we have are equal. All of us have intersections in life right ahead of us. It's up to you and I if we're going to hear God's voice and obey it. Amen? If we're going to be the church, we need to be the church. If we're going to go to church, we need to be the church. That was the amen worthy statement. Church needs to be in you. We need to stop saying, I'm going to church, and live Sunday at lunch to Sunday at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, for those of you who like to learn and get discipled and grow. All those other days, we need to have the church in us, not go to church, but be the church. And you can travel and go to foreign fields, or you can travel to your neighbor's door and be the church. I know it's a long journey, but be the church. Amen? If we're going to praise God, let's praise God. Don't just murmur, just love the Lord, praise the Lord. No, praise Him with excitement to the point that the religious are going to say, could you shush? Right? I don't want a mediocre praise, because God's not mediocre. Come on. He might have done some small miracles in your life, but let's worship Him like they're big. Because if He took those small miracles in your life away, guess what would happen? We'd freak smooth out. Right? Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Wesley's sick today. He was at work. Something's got a hold of him. But you know what? I bet you he's still praising God. He got a chance to invest in people's lives in Haiti. There's always a price to pay. It may come out of a pocketbook, but it may come out of your health. Praise God through it all. Amen? There's a high cost for low enthusiasm. Last thing, Luke 19:41. As he approached Jerusalem, I've already read this scripture, but Jesus, he looks over the city and he wept over it. My question for us, I wonder if Jesus weeps over what he sees the church not doing. Man, it's got to hurt to die for the church, to call men and women all over this planet to edify, to teach, to encourage, to equip the saints for the work, W-O-R-K, of the ministry. Sitting on pews is not work. And there are billions of people who think that they're doing their part. And that may be you, and it has always been me at various times. Jesus did not die for us to attend church on Sundays, but to be the church Sunday through Sunday in every way that we can. Amen? I want to pray right now. We're going to skip the song that was planned. And I want to pray with you. I don't want to pray for you. I want to pray with you in here. I know you've had these thoughts. God will never use me. I've been waiting all these years. I've been going to church for all these years. When will God ever let me have an experience like these people? When you do it. I've been invited to go on mission fields for 15 years, consistently, by Pastor Jeff. Offered to pay for them. Nope. Nope. Why? No air conditioning. Nope. Fumes. Nope. Dust. I'm not going. America needs Jesus. If I had not gone on the trip to Haiti in 2011, November, which me and Pastor Jeff got in an argument that day, and he said, don't worry about going to Haiti. Don't even worry about paying for the ticket. Just don't go. And I was like, I don't want to be around you. You just don't even know. But I still went. And when the plane landed, God said, this is where I will have you until further notice. I'm talking to you today. I'm talking to you. This is Pastor Damon, who was in the ministry for years at that time. Thought he had maximized his potential. I'm talking to you. When are you? When are you going to do it? When are you going to say, Lord, I will slap these arrows on the ground, not three, not six, not nine, not 12 times, but as many as you tell me to, because I want victory in my life. I want to reach people. Amen. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. Father, I pray, God, with the people here this morning, if there is someone here that doesn't, number one, first and primo, know you as their Lord and Savior, we ask, God, that they call upon you right at this moment. Jesus, be my Lord. God, make something out of this mess I've made. Cleanse me. Oh, God, my sins are a reality, and there's no way that I could make up for them. And Jesus, I don't want to cop out and just have you pay for my sins and me accept you as my Savior. But, Lord, I ask that you forgive me of my sins, and I truly surrender my life to you. That means my wants, my desires, my ambition, God, may they come from your Holy Spirit, starting today. Starting today, God, may my heart be in tune with yours. May my eyes begin to see like yours. May my ears, God, be able to hear your voice just as Jesus did, so that I can fulfill the purpose that you have for me. In Jesus' name, I ask these things because I want you. I want to experience you. I want your presence. My soul yearns and longs for you. Fill my cup, Lord. Make me new. Transform me into the man or the woman you created me to be. Starting today, August 6, 2017, I'm born again in Christ. I'm a new creature. My old ways have died, and now everything is becoming new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you guys for your attention. I know we're going to have a few extra more minutes. We have some more things that we need to cover. Amen. We have something exciting, and that's going to be a baptism. They're ready right now. I'm pretty sure getting ready. In the meantime, I want us to pray over offering. We're going to pick up an offering, then we're going to have baptism, and then we'll be heading out. Amen. So as you guys are digging in your neighbor's purse and pocket, I'm just joking. As you're preparing, whatever God has led you to, I pray that you've prayed about that already this morning. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to give? If some of you felt led to help out with missions, listen, write missions on there. If it's Nicaragua missions, write Nicaragua. If it's Haiti, write Haiti. If it's Africa, write Africa. And we'll make sure that we bring those funds to the places they need to go. If you want to sponsor a kid, just write sponsor a kid. And we'll be getting with you specifically for that. God, I pray over those who have been gifted and blessed, God, with finances, whether it be all the way from 2 mites to 2 million, Lord, I pray that you would move upon your people to give in a way that would be pleasing to you, and God, that would accomplish much with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give us a few seconds. All righty. Come on down. We have Miss Isabella Groton, and her father called me. It's been about a month ago, and he said, look, man, I really got to talk to you about this stuff. And when Shane calls you on the phone, you got to listen. You got to talk. So I'm like, man, what's going on? You know, he just returned from being deployed overseas for a year. I said, man, I got to answer his phone call. It's about my daughter, Isabella. I was like, okay. She wants to be baptized. Man, that's great. That's exciting. Are you excited? Yes, but I'm nervous. Okay. And his biggest concern was that she fully understood the decision she's made. And here's a father saying, have you counted the cost? Do you know what this means? This is heavy, guys. This is reality. This is spiritual reality when the father is saying, are you sure you want to do this? Because it's not about just goosebumps and having fun and just going swimming in a swim pool at church, right? It's about accepting the Lord as your Savior, and from this day forward, that you live for Him, you serve Him, you listen to Him. That's incredible. So I ask you today, have you accepted the Lord as your Savior? Amen. Well, I'm going to allow your father to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, when you go down, the old Isabel is just going to be done away with. And when you come up, a new creature. You'll begin to see things differently and hear things differently. Isn't that incredible? That's incredible, right? Resurrected in Christ. Come on, my brother. So you want to put your hand over your nose like this and put your other arm right there. Grab that wrist. And Dad's going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. Shane has had the opportunity to baptize two of his children. Thank God for people who love on others. Amen. They came here, moved to this area looking for a church. They traveled around because being in the military, but they said, we're going to get planted here. And I think y'all have heard that. Those who are planted in the house of God shall flourish, right? Two of his children are loving on Jesus. Amen.